Rami Youssef might be my favorite entertainer on the planet. He is a brilliant stand-up comedian, producer, director. He has created the Rami TV show. He co-created Mo on Netflix. He also happens to be one of the most honest, genuine, authentic human beings in this entire business. So I am very excited to present to you, hopefully, a side of Rami that you have not seen before. And maybe the most beautiful answer I have heard on the conflict in Israel and Palestine, which he may or may not let me put in the episode. If he doesn't, go talk to him about it. Love y'all. I want to start with fun. Tell me about the stupidest fight you've gotten into with your wife.
Oh my God.
And I feel comfortable talking about this because you don't talk about it much, but you mentioned it in the New York Times. So
wait, what did I say?
You mentioned you're married. But you don't.
Oh,
really...
that I'm married. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why do you not talk about that much?
No, I.
Because she's not white, which is what my. If you're hiding it,
you think I was hiding a white wife.
Well, if you hid it, I would assume she's white. You know what I mean? Like. What other reason would
and then,
you have?
And then you find out little details and you're like, no, dude,
yeah,
she's like really
brown, brown. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's like
she's
darker
like
than
the most
you.
Brown. Yeah. Yeah,
she, she makes you look white.
Oh, dude, that makes me feel uncomfortable. But
no, you know what it is? And I'm curious, you know, what your lines are with this. Nothing to hide. It's more like you're always balancing the public
and the private.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's nice when certain things are... you know, because I'm also like a lot of things we do are very out there. And so it's always navigating what that is. And so for her, it's just like, you know, she's such a great creative person. And I always think public attention gets in the way of creativity anyway. So it's always this like really fine balance.
That's
but yeah, no, look, pretty soon she'll be out there. You know, I think she's like, she'll see like some cool outfit. Like she's got some cool, and she'll be like, we get out there on this red carpet, dude.
Yeah. So you're planning the red carpet moves and all that.
It'll happen on some.
My wife is so, dude. I had a similar thing where I'm like, I'm protecting you because you don't know what these monsters are saying.
Sure, sure.
And she was like, no, I don't care. I want to be out there. So, but I do find that it's been helpful as she's been more out there. People see me more three-dimensionally. So like talking about the stupid fight or whatever, like my wife, she's doing well on TikTok. She'll talk about these things.
That's so funny.
And it's like a synergistic thing that I didn't think would happen. And I realized I was trying to protect her for something she didn't even think she needed protection from.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I definitely, it's less of a protection thing. And it's more just like, it's more just like, oh yeah, that'll happen. Like when it feels like the right, you know, the right time. But man, stupid fight. It's like,
do y'all fight?
They're all stupid fights.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
they kind true. Of are all, true. Because at the core you're like, we chose to be together.
Yeah.
Like, and we want to be together. And everything we do, we want to be together. And sometimes when we're fighting, I'm like, this feels like a play or something. It almost feels fake. Like we can go and scene, you know, like, let's, you know, but it's always about attention stuff. Like I'm always just like, spaced out or something, or I'm really being ADD, or I'm doing something or whatever, and so it'll end up being about. It's always something I did, justifiably so, without a doubt. It's like it's something that I did, something that, or you know what it is too. It's always like me saying I'm gonna do something, and then not doing it. But it'll be small things, like super small things, like just like hey. You know, like that carpet, like we'll have like a carpet that she wants returned. Like she bought a carpet, hey, can you take it to the post office? That will make her more upset than like something
real,
that might be like a real thing.
Something real,
she's like so much compassion, you know, and she's so open and like, we'll talk about it. But like something like, you said you were gonna bring the fucking carpet.
Do you overpromise? I overpromise all the time.
Dude, I'm like a salesman that'll tell you whatever to just
10
like,
days
like,
ago, I told her I was gonna order some like long eyedroppers or something. I haven't even thought about it until this conversation right now.
I know.
And she's gonna remember and yell at me. I'm like, oh, you're right, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I just forgot. What do you want from me?
I always want to be everything.
Yeah. Is that like a thing for you? Like, that's how you feel validated?
It's more like, wouldn't it be so great if I could just do everything that you wanted? And wouldn't it be so great if I could do everything my parents wanted? Wouldn't it be so great if I could do every creative idea that I have? So sometimes I'm in this place where I'm just super optimistic about it all. And I go, hey, it could all work. And then it kind of, I mean, especially stuff with family, it's like, I think people like really, there's a lot of understanding and then you get there, but there is that thing that I'm really trying to curb of just, hey, can you make the promises a little bit more realistic?
Realistic, yeah.
Because it really what it is it ends up just like a series of movies like we said we were gonna watch and I'm just passed out.
Yeah.
Because I'm so tired. It's like, oh, we're gonna do this thing, we're gonna do whatever. And like we've got the cool TV with the Sonos soundbar.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it sounds like because like I just fall asleep every time we put it on. It's like the bass hits me and I'm just like, I wanna like just
snuggle up and fall asleep.
I feel so validated falling asleep during movies. I really do. And here's what my question, though, based on what you were saying.
Yeah.
Why do you want to be everything to everybody? And I'm not asking like I have it figured out because I have the same thing. But I'm having this conversation with myself. Why do I need to do everything for everybody?
I mean, I just love, I love potential. So it's so exciting. So it's just like, it is just ideological. It's just like then your body can't keep up.
Yeah.
So then you go, okay, man, I think I should probably.
I will get a rush if I have like a crazy checklist of things that I accomplish.
Yeah.
But I realize for me, a lot of that is like, oh, that's how I get validation is I did this for you and this for you. So I must be good enough. And then so many times that would create fights with my wife and me where like she'd get upset about something. And because I don't feel like I'm good enough, I would be like super sensitive about her getting upset. I'll react really strongly. And it's like, dude, if I was just like, hey, it's okay. She's upset about this thing I can't do because whatever. I'm good enough. She knows that. It's fine.
Yeah.
We're most of the time we're like, the fight will only get to here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm doing this thing because I want to be everything for everybody and I can't, I'm going to let everyone down. I'm going to be exhausted. I'm going to resent them. They're going to resent me. And it just goes. I don't know if you're like that. I'm just asking.
No. I get into that. And then I think it's become a lot more real. That's what I love about being married.
Yeah.
Everything becomes really real.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I think about, I mean, we've been now, it's been like 3 years or 2 years, you know, and I've changed because I have to just, everything got smaller. Like the lists did get smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did kind of start to say, all right, yeah, I need to work less. And yeah, I need to this, I need to that. So it does become more real, which is like a really good, you know, result of it, the fights or whatever. But I think it probably started from, I want to feel validated for sure. And I don't even think there's anything wrong with wanting validation. I think it's like a it's like a check engine light.
Yeah.
But when it's like all about validation, then you're cooked.
So how much do you crave? Because the one thing I admire about your stuff is I find it brilliant. I really do. I don't find a lot of people in our space like really artistic. I think a lot of people are trying to be artistic and are not. You, I think, are an artist. And I watch your show. I'm watching Rami. Season one, I loved. I like identified with it, whatever. Season two, and I've said this to you.
Yeah.
Season two, I'm like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Most of season three, I'm like, I'm angry I'm watching this show. But then by the end, the last 5 minutes of season three, the series season finale, I was like, holy shit, this guy's making a masterpiece.
Oh, that's so
and good. You were willing to sit in a, I'm assuming I'm not alone, people being like, what the fuck is this guy? This guy sucks.
Yeah,
I hate this guy.
Yeah.
And then by the end, I've talked to other people who had the exact same experience. At the end, they're like, holy shit, that was beautiful. How do you create and sit in? That's very, and even your stand-up, you can sit in the tension forever. So much of stand-up is I need validation all the time. I need you to laugh all the time. You can sit in the discomfort. How?
Well, I think it's funny we're talking about validation because I think part of like even maybe I'll even go into that discomfort almost to kind of test myself to be like, how validated do you really need to be, dude?
That's fire.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, you need a show that's like named after yourself and you want to be the hero every episode?
Yeah. Oh,
you know, so like a lot of that too, especially as we were doing it more, was I was kind of testing what I could do and what would be fun and almost wanting to be reckless with even my own face and my own name because it kind of felt more interesting than trying to do like a puff piece about myself and kind of trying to be like, hey, this is, you know, I'm so great and so whatever. It's more like, actually, here's a depiction of, you know, I mean, and really the more we make the show, I do believe he becomes more of a character. Like I see separation from myself, but it's also like, I feel really close to him, to character. Well, I could see it. But I mean, you know what that feels like. You ever see people in like a really tough situation of their own doing and you go, like if I took a couple other turns, that really could have been me. I mean, we live in a city, we live in New York, there's a lot of homeless people. Like I'll see them and I can tear up because there's just this part of me that's pretty sure if a certain number of things were not the way that they went, that could be me. Like I see that line and I think it's so much shorter than anybody thinks. And you kind of like well up a little bit because you go, oh man, you know, that's a person and I'm a person. And if I just, instead of going like a couple of ways right, if I went like this way and left and down or whatever, I don't know where I would be. So the show and a lot of the things I like to do creative are often like an exercise of that because I think it just feels like I could only do that in that space. I don't want to do that in my real life.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to, I actually would rather try my best to be a positive character in my real life, which, you know, has its, things that I've had to learn from and, you know, talking about other wives. But then in, you know, I'm like, well, no, this is fiction. That's what's fun. And so like, how could it, you know, feel to explore those things? And that's where I tend to go. And, you know, the thing we just made, the animated show we made is a different kind of swing. And the reason I'm bringing it up is just because you're so funny in it. And so many people, like I have to say, you're so funny in it. And so many people have asked me, oh my God, who is that? Just people I grew up with, whatever, people who've watched the show. And then I think obviously there's people who know you from your stand-up and they're like, is that Akash? And they're so excited to see you doing that and doing that character work. You're so good at it,
This is the first time I've done a project that I had faith was gonna be good in my entire career.
Well,
I literally.
I'm glad you had faith, because the whole time I was making it, I was like, I don't know, this is either going to be the most offensive, insanely bad thing, or it'll work.
Yeah.
You know, or people will connect with it.
Yeah. I thought both were possible, but I truly, I'm not even bullshitting you. I had faith. I was like, this guy is just, I just trust him. And I've said this, hopefully you don't feel bad. I was the lead in a Netflix cartoon.
Yeah.
As I was reading the scripts, I was like, I don't fucking like this, man. And then it was so bad that Netflix paid for 10 episodes. I had recorded 8 of them in the booth.
Yeah.
Netflix was like, you know what? We'll pay everybody for all 10. This doesn't need to see the light of day.
Honestly, we'll pay you and it won't see the light of day.
It's not
a great pay.
Honestly, massive
That's
relief
a
for
great
me.
Pay.
But I knew as I'm reading it, I'm like, this is shit. This is unadulterated shit.
Yeah.
And then I'm reading Rami and I'm reading Number One Happy Family. I'm like, this could be really good or really bad, but I just had faith. I was like, it's Rami. I'm truly going to trust it. That's really all it was.
Yeah.
And so you said, there's a few questions you answered in that last thing, but like you said this, you try to live a life that is righteous. And I've said this to you, I admire you because you are maybe the most authentic person I've met in this business. Even your answer about the homeless person, there's like this in the room, if anybody talks to you, they feel the empathy pouring out of you. I mean, you felt it?
Absolutely.
It's like a fucking empathy that and a love that pours out of you that like, when I first met you, I was like, there's no way this is real. And I'm not even taking a shot at you. I was like, this is beautiful. And then I'm watching Rami, and this guy is so different than the real Rami. And I admired that. I felt like you made that decision. And I guess I wanted to hear more about your decision to be that. Would you kind of answered it already?
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of it came from, you know, taking risks in stand-up. And then also, like, I just worked with really great people, you know. My co-creators on Rami, Ryan and Ari, we had a lot of conversations about like what the character should go through. Mm. And that was like really important, in terms of, you know, how we want to. And I think about it.
He's
like,
a scumbag, though. Like he does some scummy, like you're watching this show. Dogs are getting killed. There's a character who's trying to kiss a 16-year-old. You go with him.
He's in a wheelchair.
Now, granted, it's like a fucking Make-A-Wish, it's like these things are handled in a way that's like, I mean, you're cheating on your fiance with your cousin. These are things that are like dark, unlikable, morbid things. And I was curious. I don't know. I guess I was, and you kind of walked me through it, but like, I just want to hear even more, as much as you can tell me about like that decision, that process, what that's like going through, what it's like receiving the criticism of that. How do you think that impacts the way you're viewed in real life?
I mean, I think like there are, it's interesting because I'll do different things, you know, like, you know, my sister works with me. She produced the animated show with me.
Yeah.
And she was like kind of, you know, I have this like new thing I'm in, and she sent me a comment of someone kind of saying, oh man, I don't know, man. It's kind of wild watching Rami after he cheated on his wife. You know, like, like the character from a show like years ago. So it that stuff always kind of makes me laugh because it's like, it means it stuck in a way. You know what I mean? I think it pierces
it sticks,
through. And I think that people, you know, who've gotten to see the show and get to experience it, again, kind of see how, I'm really interested in just how fragile people can be and where they can find themselves, you know, and that margin is just so much thinner, I think, than we think. And so it's an exploration of that. And I think that's why it always felt fun to go these places that, again, I would never want to go in my real life. And I didn't mind putting myself through it, you know, again, with my name or whatever. And even now when that happens, I just think it's cool because I'm like, oh, cool, you watched the show. And oh, cool, it really did stick with you. And there's also this piece of like, nobody knows us anyway, right? So it's like you have a bunch of podcasts out there. You have a fan base that loves you.
Yeah.
You have specials and people are like, oh my God, I feel like I know him.
Yeah. Well, the same.
Kinda.
The specials,
you know what I mean?
Like, no,
it's like,
no.
It's like, and it's like same thing. Anything we put out is just a projection of something. So there's always a gap anyway.
But there
so
is
it's like,
a
you know,
very deliberate attempt, as I feel like I got better at stand-up, it was you get to know me more and more, three-dimensionally.
Sure.
Not everything. I'm not putting everything out there. I wish I was Patrice. I'm not. But like you get more and more of a view of who I am and what I put out and who I really am. That show is not that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not that.
And I still care what other people think. Like,
yeah.
You're getting, the show is named Rami. Your character is named Rami.
You know, that's the one thing I would have probably shifted is because I think ultimately it was just playing a character, right?
Yeah.
But then it was just that thing of like, and I remember too, I didn't even know that we should do it because so many people say my name Rami.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so I had thought, well, maybe I'll do a different character name and this and that. And then kind of everyone involved with the process, and ultimately I felt okay about it too. We just said, hey, you know, just use your name, you know.
But then why Rumi in the cartoon?
Well, that was just because we do that whole thing on poetry.
Okay.
Yeah, and that also is just was a part of it too, like separating,
separating
fully as well. A lesson learned.
So you would not be Rami again.
No, couldn't be, yeah.
Yeah, like I've seen you answer this question a few times about like being representative of, I'm not trying to represent.
Yeah.
But they're gonna do that regardless. You know what I mean? So that's where I also think maybe we feel a similar thing where it's like, do you ever feel like it's never enough? Because I know I do. You're never them enough.
Yeah.
You're never brown enough. Even if all I think I'm always trying to do something for us.
Right.
Whether you agree or disagree with it, I'm telling you, I'm keeping us in mind.
Right.
Still so often, why didn't you speak on this? Why didn't you speak on that?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you deal with the whole thing and how do you navigate that? Because that does bother me at my core.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, letting go of that idea that you could be everything for everybody, right? It's the thing we were talking about.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in trying to do it in my personal life, I guess.
Yeah.
Like what we were talking about with our wives and our family.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean? Where you go, that's a good place for that. And then I think with the audience, partly because so many things in the show struck a chord in a way that was sometimes polarizing, where people either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
Starting as best as I can to divorce myself from the idea that, you know, everyone will be happy, you know, especially when it comes to the audience.
How do you divorce yourself from that idea? Because I think that's easy.
They do a lot of it for you. Okay. They kind of were like,
okay, yeah,
fuck this guy.
You know,
and then you go, cool, thank you. Like, and now we're, and that's cool. And you don't have to. My favorite thing about what we do is they're actually, I think a lot of the heat can come from a feeling of scarcity. So an audience goes, hey, we don't have a lot of, you know, why Ryan aren't
James,
you?
Yeah.
And, but we're not, we year after year, we continue to really not be in that position. There's actually so many people who are amazing artists that I'm huge fans of. So many people who are going to be getting their things out there if they haven't yet.
Yeah.
So I always tried to, especially from the beginning, like not have that scarcity mindset. And as we were kind of, I'll tell you, part of even feeling like I could take more risks with the Rami character and making Rami was that simultaneously we were making Mo.
Yeah.
And I kind of knew, oh, you know what? There are things that we're not doing on Rami that we're going to do on Mo.
Yeah.
There are going to be certain pieces of the immigrant experience and what it's like, you know, being undocumented and a lot of like really important social issues and being Palestinian and so many things that we touch on Rami, but through a really kind of character-driven, you know, guy trying to kill his ego. But in Mo, we're actually going to have it be like a guy you're rooting for against the system.
Yeah.
And so I felt more leeway because I knew both those things were happening at the same time. That made me really excited because I said, okay, you know, hey, you don't like this one? Try this one.
Yeah.
Hey, you might like both because they actually are so different. And I think a lot of the playgrounds that I gravitate towards from the outside could feel similar, but then I think anyone who gets a chance to, you know, now our animated show, I consider it ours because you're so great in it, you know, you get to like, no, seriously, like we're part of the, it's like the whole
this
thing.
This is like when you look at the homeless person and you're like,
I'm being serious. But it's like, it's like that, you know, everything has its own thing and goes in its own kind of totally, you know, wild direction.
Does it bother you that people don't understand how intimately involved you were with Mo on that front in terms of like what that show addresses, how it addresses it? I have not seen season 2 yet. Payam watched it. He was like in awe of like the courage, the balls to like talk about the stuff you're talking about in the way you talk about it. He literally asked, I asked, what questions did you want to ask? And he goes, how did you get away with that? Which is awesome and a question I want to answer to. And then secondarily, does it bother you that people don't realize how much of you is on that show in terms of like your input? Not to take anything away from Mo.
No,
but you are addressing these things.
I mean, in the same way that Mo is, you know, is such a, I mean, one of the funniest characters in Rami,
he's,
you know,
and amazing.
So, yeah. No, I mean, plenty of people know, and then people who don't, it's kind of part of what's awesome about it just being its own thing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about. That's the point, which is basically like, everything becomes like a refraction of its own thing and people get to interact with it however they choose.
Yeah.
So it's really cool for me, quite simply, that a Palestinian gets to be on TV in the way that he is, because we didn't have that. And that was my whole drive in wanting to make sure that that happened and wanting to protect it and wanting to be involved with it. And then also like the parts of it that are so purely, you know, between Slick and Mo and Harris and you know, and Shireen, who's on that show, who, you know, she plays Mo's sister and she directed on Rami. And she was like, it was so, you know, we had had this conversation where she was telling me that she was writing something, but she wanted to act and she had done some acting and wanted to get back into acting. So then it was this really natural thing of, oh, you should play Mo's sister, you know? And then she does that. And then I just saw a cut of her new film that played at Sundance. I mean, this thing is like one of the most epic movies I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's so, so good. I might issue a correction, but it was called All That's Left of You. And I think that's, but I think, I don't know if she had changed the title, but I believe that's what she rocked with. Dude, it is amazing. And it hasn't been picked up, you know, for obvious reasons. Because it's this like, you know.
So how do you navigate that? Because you are incredibly successful within the industry. You could be successful anywhere, but it is an industry that seemingly has a very different stance on the Israel-Palestine conflict than you.
I think it's so much more diverse. I mean, I think that it kind of appears that way for a second, but I think ultimately it is an industry of people who just care about people. And I think the more that people are able to look at what's happening from a really human point of view, everyone genuinely goes, wait, what? Like, how is this happening the way that it's happening? And even like, dude, Hannah Einbinder, I don't know if you saw her speech. It was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, where she's just proudly Jewish, but so firmly understands, hey, you know, we cannot condone the way that people are being killed en masse and the way that they are. That is not the context of any sort of framework that we would agree to anywhere else. And we don't agree to it anywhere else, you know, except for when it comes to the Middle East. And I think that's where, you know, the conversations that, you know, we have in terms of putting, you know, human characters on screen, it's always a win. Everything you do is always a win, because we're getting to see something that hasn't existed in the English language. Because we're actually talking about the English language, because if you peel it back, I mean, Arab cinema and Arab television, you know, I'm sure you've just like think about Bollywood culture, you think about all of that. There are films that are masterpieces.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not like we're saying our people never picked up a camera. We're actually just only talking about the English language. That is the uniquely cracked thing. And that's the thing that kind of speaks to this like third culture global view that, you know, kind of needs diversity of thought. And that's where I feel, yo, being imperfect is actually the best service, because you want to leave gaps.
Yeah.
So you want someone to be like, oh yeah, I watched the thing he made and it hit this thing, but it didn't hit that thing. So now I'm going to hit that thing. Because if you try to hit every target.
Oh, that's fucking great.
Gaps are good.
Yeah.
Gaps are really good in art, because then they leave room for other art. If you try to kind of monopolize doing the same, like everything at the same level, it's never worked. It's never good. But I think, and I think that's kind of just on an artistic level, it never hits, but purely from the point of view of, I think people who want more of their voice in art and in English speaking art, it's good when something's incomplete because then it kind of leaves a lot of room for someone else to complete it, you know?
Yeah, it makes complete, I mean, I never would have thought of it. It makes complete sense.
Also, guys, this episode is brought to you by Steak. You know why we work with Steak? Because they allow creators to create without censorship. That's why they rock with Flagrant. We're filming this at the Flagrant Studios, and they're the best. And if you're going to gamble, obviously do it responsibly. Don't go broke and blame me. That's your fault. You're a fucking idiot. But if you want to gamble responsibly, Steak is the place to do it. They support creators. They support us. And if you want to bet right now on whether these Jewish people are going to kick Rami out of Hollywood, that's a bet you could place on Steak. 200-1 odds, maybe. I don't know. I'll let other people decide that. The bankers, if you will. The globalists, if you will. Anyway, place your bets on Steak. Use the promo code Akash to get exclusive bonus content. Now let's get back to the show.
I know you started like as a teenager, right? And on Nickelodeon.
You know, I did that. I did that Nickelodeon show when I was 20. Yeah,
oh,
I was
really?
20. Yeah, yeah. So I dropped out of college and then I was, I just started auditioning and it kind of happened pretty quickly. But when I was a teenager, I was just doing comedy in the city. I was doing sketch comedy.
Where'd you grow up?
Jersey,
that's right. Where?
Yeah, Rutherford.
From the Giant Stadium.
Yeah, yeah. Literally could hear the stadium from my
house. So when my wife and I, we weren't married at the time, but when I went broke, we had to move to Secaucus.
Oh my God.
I would drive by Rutherford all the time.
Yeah.
So you're driving into New York City to do stand up.
Yeah.
This is a question that is hacky, but it's for you specifically. I wouldn't ask most, including myself, sitting in that chair, what was it like? But you're like a really artistic kid. Whereas I'm not saying what I put out is an art or whatever, but it's not artistic in the way that we know it, like kind of out there, kind of different, unique. Uh-huh. I'm saying things that are pretty surface level in the sense of like, they're not abstract, they're concrete. You know what I mean? And I'm okay with that. I'm very okay with that.
I think you undercut yourself.
I'm not going to say things, and I don't like things. Like when I look at art and people like, oh, this is modern art, it's light bulbs and it's at the Met, I'm like, get fucked.
By the way, I don't understand half that shit. So like,
but
I'm
your
very
shit
much
is,
from
I,
New Jersey.
It's
so.
Art, but it's also, it's at a level where I understand, but it's presented in a way I've never seen anything close to this. So in a brown household, that shit is seen as weird, typically. Like, it was crazy to want to be a stand-up comedian.
But if I can make
you laugh with this observation, you're still laughing.
Yeah.
My mom watching Rami respectfully be like, what the fuck is happening?
What is happening, yeah.
And if you've always been like that, how was that treated in your house growing up?
My parents were incredibly supportive because my parents are kind of cinephiles. I mean, I actually think they've seen more movies than me.
Really?
And they watch everything. They're you know, and I think that's a very Egyptian thing, is like knowing cinema, knowing television.
Yeah, you guys are like the entertainers of the Middle East, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And actually to the point that a lot of the Middle East's, you know, Arabic dialect is, I don't want to say dictated by Egyptian Arabic, but certainly it is the dialect that everybody understands because of cinema. And then you go there, and so I'll have this phenomenon of just going to these countries where everyone understands what I'm saying and I don't understand the thing they're saying. Because the dialect is so different.
Yeah.
So they're cinephiles. They just couldn't fathom, and I couldn't fathom, that it was something that could be a career.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was, hey, keep doing your hobby. It's amazing. Oh, of course, we love when you perform. And I used to perform a lot with my buddy Steve, who's in my show.
Right,
muscular dystrophy.
Yeah.
So we started doing shows, even just as charity shows, to raise money for Muscular Dystrophy Association and try and get him some money and all that. They loved it. They loved that I was doing it. But I think the assumption was always, hey, so at some point, you know, you're going to go become a lawyer.
Right.
And that's also what I thought. And so I think when I booked that first job, everyone was surprised, including me, because I said, wait, this is crazy. I'm moving to LA to be on a show. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I had gotten a manager, but I thought that the manager was just going to help me get more live shows.
Yeah. So that's a Nickelodeon show, right? I mean, yeah, Nickelodeon is not disrespect, but it's like for kids, teens, tweens, whatever. Then how do you go from that to this guy? How do you start to feel more confident in like, no, I want to put this out. This is a unique thing. There's very few shows like Rami that have ever existed as far as I've known. How do you get comfortable being that guy?
You know, it was all really gradual. And again, like I worked with really great people. It was, you know, at some point, me and...
You know what I mean? Like confidence in that this is good. It's unlike anything I've done or what you've seen, but this is fucking good and I know that.
I had gotten a camera and I had a bunch of weird short film ideas that I started shooting when I was in LA. There was this period where I started hitting stand-up hard. It was after that show had ended. Yeah. And I was going out and auditioning and I wasn't booking anything. And then I had started writing a few kind of weird premises and I spent a little bit of the money I had left from doing this show.
Yeah.
And got this whole camera kit and I started experimenting with a few things. None of them, I actually think like, I shot three of them and maybe one of them I showed people and I don't even think I ever posted any of it online. I never posted any of it.
Put this out.
I don't even know where it is right
now.
This
is going to go on
TikTok. I'd have to find it.
This is your first TikTok video.
No, I'd really have to find it. And so I was kind of experimenting with these things and then, and then I realized, okay, I want to make things that are a bit weird. And then, then I just, the show I'd done was a multi-cam show. So initially I started thinking about the show as a multicam. I was working, Ari worked with Gerard, right?
Okay.
I was opening for Gerard and he had his multicam show at the time.
Yeah.
And we were like, okay, what if we do another multicam show?
Yeah.
And we were kind of jamming on that. And then I would kind of write out, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do that. And then we had linked up, this is like A24 just opening a TV department.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't done, And we're kind of, I'm like, hey, I remember I had breakfast with them and I sent them stuff. And I was like, yeah, and this and that, and this idea and that. And then everyone was like, that's not a multicam. And then it was almost immediate. I said, yeah, it's really not. Like, I just said because I had acted in one before.
Right.
So I was, I kept thinking, let me just show them, hey, I had that experience. I could do this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it kind of came from these flow states of, okay, these are things that I'm really thinking about, that I'm really drawn to, that I really want to do. And then we all just kind of like made something together for the first time, And when we did that, I think the first two shows out of A24 were Euphoria and Rami. They were the
Holy
first
shit.
Two things. And so we were all like, just like in the lab, kind of figuring out, will that work? Will
That's
that work? Will
crazy,
that work? You know what I mean? Like it was,
A24,
it was like that.
Are Euphoria and Rami is two bangers out of the gate.
That,
bangers.
That was like kind of that first... I'm sure there were a couple other things that year, but I remember that being the first, because we were working on it, and then, I remember them saying, oh, yeah, we have this other thing we're working on, Euphoria, and obviously that's, like, a global phenomenon. Right?
How have you felt things shift? Because I remember seeing you after I saw season one of Rami, and I was like, it's so fucking good. I don't think people are going to... I think season three or four, and you were like, yeah, I'm feeling a little shift, but I was like, I think seasons three or four, you'll start to feel a real, like, holy shit. Have you felt that at all?
People are still finding the show right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's really interesting. It's like I got to act in Poor Things, and I had a British accent, and there are people who think I'm British.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
They're just the first thing they saw me in. So it's and then they go, and then they'll see an interview or something, and they go, I didn't know that he was American.
Right.
Which is honestly a huge compliment.
Yeah.
But then at the other end, you go, oh yeah, there are just people who have no idea what it is that you do. And that's also cool. So people keep finding it, I'll do something else or they'll see a stand-up clip and then some people only know me as a stand-up. It's really,
you gotta get your stand-up out from behind a paywall. We gotta get it out from behind a paywall. It's so fucking good. And that cousins joke, actually, I think the reason I was okay with the storyline of the cousins
right
in the show is because your stand-up made me be like, yeah, you fucking cousin, big deal. Like,
so
really,
let me tell
cares?
You something funny about the cousin joke. And this is something that I really,
it's so good.
This is, okay, so the cousin joke, I think about that joke a lot because it came from a crowd work bit. So I had
really?
This crowd work bit where it was that typical Laugh Factory, hey, how long have you two been dating?
Yeah. Who does that, Hex?
100%.
What a hacky thing.
By the way,
dorks got no idea what art is.
Everybody is a hack. Live.
Okay. I told you, I'm okay. My shit is here, and that's fine.
No, but
I'm okay with
it. So am I, though. It's like I really am okay. So I had this how long have you been together, whatever, and they go, we're cousins, and the crowd goes, ooh,
yeah.
Then I go, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And then you feel this weird kind of shift in the audience where you're like, ha. And then so then I start arguing for it,
right?
And I basically scaffold what becomes the bit in the special, right? But I think about this bit all the time because It was
because so many Muslims marry their cousins.
Well, yeah, so many Muslims marry their cousins, 100%. But the reason I think about this bit, just in terms of, and this is like a question I have for you, but it's okay. So that as a clip,
yeah,
pure crowd work,
yeah,
was so funny.
Oh, unbelievable!
It was really
unbelievable.
It was really funny, and like you know, it was Laugh Factory. They had the cams.
Yeah,
you could kind of see them.
Yeah,
it like sounded good. It was whatever. And part of me is like, there's a version of that joke in my life where I just kind of like put it online.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it like bangs.
Right.
And then I'm like, oh, cool. Like I have like a good thing. I never did anything with it. It kept like, you know, then it became this bedrock of the special and then it became this storyline in the show.
Yeah.
And that is part of why I haven't been online. Because I have this thing where I go like, honestly, at the end of the day, I'm just trying to connect with people. And I would be very happy to connect in that way. Like I actually, so you kind of talk about what you do as like, you know, I don't know, you keep saying it's like whatever, like, I don't know what you keep saying.
No, I don't. Yeah,
but,
I don't,
but it connects in this amazing way.
Oh,
I think you connect in this amazing way. And it's like all my guys in Jersey love you and like watch your shit and like
great.
Are so
I'd
into it.
That.
And you do things really consistently. So people will kind of like, you know, odd people will be like, hey man, where you been? And I'm like, honestly, I've been working every day, but like, I guess you don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
So it's actually like, I'm not even saying one is different from the other. It's more like I saw one thing that kind of became my process.
Yeah.
And then it almost feels sometimes like going really online would be the opposite of my process. And I think that is what I don't know. Like I think about that and I go, I mean, how does it sit for you? Like, cause
I think I love when people see an idea. I don't remember. There was some fucking line I had in a thing. And maybe it was in part of my special. I said something about pharmacists, this guy being a pharmacist or whatever. And then it was crowd work off of that. That's going to become a part of a bit in this next hour.
Yeah.
And my camera guy that I work with a lot of times, Kev, he's not here, but he was asking like, are you okay with that? And I was like, yeah, I like people seeing that.
Yeah.
I like them watching the thing go from one line to holy shit, that became like a fleshed out thing. Look at that happen. And I think either people won't see both. Or
they
if they
don't.
Do, they'll be like, they're fans of comedy and they understand that it's a process
and they
of
love
building
how it
up.
Grew.
And I loved watching the thing go from your stand-up to the TV show.
Yeah.
I thought that was like really cool. So you're just giving them a peek behind the curtain. And the people who do, most people don't see it.
Yeah.
If a clip has a billion views, that means 7 billion people didn't see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and no clip has a billion views of stand-up.
Most
people don't see it. And if they do, they're like, oh fuck, I saw it go from
crowd work. I saw that.
And then you built out this like, beautiful thing with it.
Also, like, people do want to see it again, too, because I can't tell you how many times I, especially in college, just driving around.
Yeah.
I must have listened to every Carlin record, Inside Out, Mitch Hedberg,
I had
Inside
Chappelle,
Out,
Killing Them Softly
Chappelle,
on CD,
Inside Out.
Yeah.
These were all Hannibal.
Yeah.
I loved
yeah.
Hannibal when
yeah.
I was in college. I listened to those records.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it was, I never, yeah.
Yeah, I think you should be online more. That's like the only thing I would tell you is let people see you, because I think the stand-up is so good, but if it's behind a paywall, people just don't, outside of Netflix, they're not, nobody's really, I don't think, cracked through to the point that you're like, oh, they have a so-and-so special, I have to watch it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Netflix is validating, and I think external validation is a lot for Brown fans. Like when you get external validation, they're like, oh, you guys like them, so we have to
love them. Yeah.
I really think that's why we chase degrees so much.
That's so funny.
Like that's why we value degrees.
Yeah, what is
like,
that?
Oh,
what
Harvard
is
said
think?
He's good
what
enough.
Does the community
Yeah. Not even the community. What is if they validate you, the community uplifts you more because they're like, oh, Harvard said this kid is good enough, so fuck yeah. Netflix said this guy's good enough, so he's awesome. But outside of that, in terms of just exposure to people, which that's when you say people are still finding out about Rami, I'm like, well, you guys haven't even, to me, the stand-up is my favorite thing of his.
Yeah.
You do it in a way that I still never see it coming, and that's rare for me. Usually I can clock a bit, and not like it's a gift or whatever, but I'll just be like, you know, you say
right,
that's
we
good
all do it
before the punch.
Of, yeah.
But with you, I'm always like, oh, fuck, after the punch, which is a rare thing. That doesn't happen for me often. And it's always funny. It always hits. So yeah, I just think you need to get out there.
Who are you excited about right now in stand up? Like who do you like watching?
That's what I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
I feel like this is my time in the sense that like, this is arrogant, but I don't know how many people are doing it better than me in the planet at this moment in time. That's not to say my career stacks up with anybody.
Right.
But at this moment in time, I'm operating in a place where I'm like, oh, I'm there's not a lot of people I'm looking at. Like,
you feel like you're in your bag.
I'm in my fucking bag.
You're doing what you want
to
do.
And yeah. I'm trying it. And this is one thing I admire about you. We always talk about doing it as brown entertainers. You put people on that are brown. You helped Mo get his show. I remember talking to you as we were working on the cartoon, and you were like so invested in Mo getting season two.
Yeah.
It was awesome to see somebody love his brother like that.
Yeah.
Arjun, who owns this Jai shop, is an actor who I think is fucking awesome, and I'll do everything I can to help him.
Yeah.
Like in stand-up, I don't know who's us, one of us, and I'm just saying brown people that I'm like, no, that kid needs to fucking, who are you looking at? Like, he's next. And I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just married and
I really like, well, that's part of it too. It's like we're like out less.
Yeah, I'm domestic.
That's the thing
yeah.
with, you know, touring. It's like, you know, it used to be like going out.
Yeah, you see everybody.
You see everybody,
and
right?
Now
it's
I
like
don't.
We all saw Tim Dillon yelling at people at the stand.
Yeah. But know, I want to find...
About cruise ships or whatever.
Yeah. You know? And then, I want to find him, that brown guy.
You see him in his podcast and you go, yeah, of course.
Yeah,
you know?
yeah. We've been known. We've been
well,
seen.
Of course. You know, he's been doing that for a while. You know, I think... two comics coming up. I really love Natalie Alcar.
Natalie Alcar, yeah.
She's so good. Malik Elassal.
I don't know him.
Dude, he's great. And he's about to be on an FX show. He's going to
Oh, it's great.
Breakout. He's going to be amazing.
Natalie opened for me, and again, I just stopped going out, but she opened for me early when I started headlining in 2019.
Yeah.
And now I see her, she's doing her thing, but I have not really seen her cuz you're just it's the road, it's the pod, it's wife, it's
of course.
Nieces.
Of course.
And then like what else are you doing? But I want That's one, again, I admire that about you. You just like, you got these guys and I will see you be like, no, this guy's with me. We're going to make sure he's okay. And it's a really fucking cool thing that.
I mean, you guys have a great crew. I mean, it's fun. And I do think that part of that's that stand up, even though it's a solo thing, you travel with people,
people go up,
you know what I mean?
And I will try to like watch a set down with you and be like, okay, once I know you a little bit and I start to understand you're funny, I'll be like, okay, here's what I think you can do. Here's what I think. You know who actually I think is a young kid that has a lot of potential? Modisham Yakub, Pakistani kid.
Cool.
But he, especially the stuff he'll tell me off stage, I'll be dying laughing. And he's young in comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, when you bring that, he's like, he moved from Pakistan to Minnesota when he was in college.
Yeah.
He has these stories just like, I mean, they're just like hilarious stories. But I think him, I've said to him, you have like a unique thing.
Yeah.
And I'll try to bring him on the road. I've tried to watch down a set with him and be like, here's what I'll notice here.
Yeah.
But I want to do that. And it's just like, it's a thing I really admire that you actually do.
Steve Way, who, you know, is on our show.
Oh, yeah.
He's been doing, it's so hard for him to do stand-up because so many places aren't wheelchair accessible.
Yeah.
So one of the cool things about, you know, and you're doing it so well, you start doing these bigger venues, these theaters, they're accessible.
Right.
Because it's like when we're starting doing stand-up, it's like actually, this chai shop would have been a dream stand-up venue. Like, this is big.
No, we've thought about this.
Compared to like, you know, right in that corner. It's like, I'm like, I still have that thing, by the way. I'll like go somewhere with my wife, pizza shop, whatever. I'll be like, I can do stand-up here.
Yeah.
You know, like we used to, there was just like anywhere. Cause that was like my brain all of.
Did you put on your own shows?
Oh my God. Yeah. In LA, there was a vintage clothing store. I turned into a whole stand-up room. And
really?
It was like a banging stand-up. Ali Wong did the first show. Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was a great room.
Yeah.
You know, and the show was, it was like it was a women's vintage store that was around the corner from me. I think the show was called Your Girlfriend's Closet. And we were just surrounded by clothes.
That's actually an awesome name.
Doing stand-up.
I don't have a name for this, by the way. Somebody, Arjun asked me, he was like, what are you calling this? I was like, I don't fucking know. So we'll figure out the name too. And if you got, that's a great name.
This should be called My Cousin's Chai Shop.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be.
Is he really your cousin? I mean, you know.
You know how we do. He's my brother.
Listen, you should just go.
Hey, you know what I mean? That's how we talk. Okay, there's one other, there's not only one other question I want to ask, but there's one I want to make sure I ask you. And I've asked you this in person.
Yeah.
You have, and I spoke on it earlier a little bit, a patience for people that is uncanny. I do not have patience for a lot of, I don't want to say stupidity, but like a lack of self-awareness or hypocrisy, probably things in myself that I don't like or I get frustrated by that I'll project. But I remember we were at a dinner. We flew to LA. We recorded for Rami. This was like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't know what took this fucking cartoon so long to come out, by the way. I've lost
my... It was done for a year.
I've lost my Actors Guild health insurance.
Did you lose your SAG insurance?
Yeah, this is the only acting job I had. Now I'm paying $1,200 a month for health insurance for me.
I'm going to try hopefully get another season.
Yeah, thank you. I need that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're at dinner after we wrap, and then this kid is like works hair and makeup or whatever, and that the person is talking about like, yeah, we got to eat the rich, blah, 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 and they're like really going on a diatribe, and I'm sitting there listening. And I'm like, buddy, we're at a fucking dinner paid for by Jeff Bezos. And you're telling us to eat the rich. Do you have any idea how fucking stupid you sound? And I don't, I won't say anything, but inside I'm seething. Mm. And I've seen you deal, and the Hollywood world is a common complaint. Is like, you guys talk this and you have no idea how insane you look. Like the Oscars, if I don't, you went, I'm assuming for Poor Things this year. The idea that they all get on stage and talk about like helping the poor and the rich are evil. You literally are on a fucking red carpet for kings and queens. The poor people are behind gates. Then you go hand each other trophies and jerk each other off in $10,000 dresses and suits. And you tell us we need to help the poor. Like, you look fucking ridiculous. You have patience for that I never could. I could never. Where does that come from? How do you do that? And I ask this as a, like, I'm seeking advice. Like, you have love for these people.
No, I mean, it's like, look, people are, it's just, I guess you, it's not even about placating. It's just on a level, it's like, and it's like thing we were talking about earlier where you're like, you get into like a fight with your wife or something.
Yeah.
And you just feel that thing where you're like, this isn't, we don't really want to be fighting.
I don't have sex with these people.
We're just,
you know what I mean?
No, but the reason I bring,
I'm not having that much sex with my wife, but enough.
The reason I bring that up is because it's like, you can kind of see past the performance and you kind of understand, oh, okay, you know, this person is actually really genuine, but they're kind of, they don't really know what, you know, their way of operating can be. And look, there are plenty of people that I can kind of, I see what's going on, and I'm never in a room for too long if I feel like, oh, I can't tolerate this, right? So it's like, I mean, the thing you're talking about, part of it is I'll just leave. Like, that's the other thing is like, okay, I gotta go. Like,
no,
this
I've
is
seen
actually
you sit
not
in
a
there.
Good,
I've seen
not,
you sit in
but
it.
That means I probably appreciate that person and kind of understand what's going on.
Okay.
And so it's like, it's I don't need to like fight them on every point. It's more like, I'm curious. I also am curious in hearing people out. I'm like, all right, where does this go? Where does it, I don't know everything. Like, where
you
do you
said something to me, and I'm not trying to bail you out. If this is what you want to go with, great. Or if this, I'm not even, this is not a shot. But what you said to me stuck with me. This was years ago.
Uh-huh.
You said, I took shrooms a couple times in my life, and one of the things I realized was that person's calibration is just off.
Yes.
And I didn't get it when you said it. And then I, kind of like you talked about that cousin's joke where it just sits in the back of your mind. You keep thinking about it. I was like, oh, what a fucking beautiful way to look at it. That person, right now, in this moment in time, their calibration is just off. And it seemed vague enough that I didn't get it. Now, I can't expound on it. Maybe you can. But I'm like, I know exactly what he means. What an awesome way to look at it. I don't often have that patience. But what a fucking cool way to look at it.
Well, first off, I'm glad that you reminded me of that, because I forgot that I said that.
But you
and
still
it's
do
way,
it.
And it's way better than what I just tried to explain. And now I'm this. Now I'm having this.
No, I feel like I am. No,
now
no,
I'm
no,
having
no,
this thing where I'm like, man, I used to be smarter.
No,
like, I've
no,
gotten,
no, no, no.
Holy
I
shit,
wanted,
I've been hanging out with these Hollywood types too much.
I didn't want to take credit for saying that
I'm
thing.
Like, I used to be way more on it.
No.
It's that. I mean, this was, oh my God, I just did the Subway take with Kareem where I said everyone fundamentally is inherently good.
Yeah.
And people are just, they have illnesses. The person isn't their affliction. The person is the person. You know, some people, stay far away.
Yeah,
but it's not because at their core they're bad. They're ill. They are uncalibrated. They are sick. And this is actually basic morality. This is like the core of any religion. This is not even a take.
Yeah.
This is just what's been around forever. And it's so funny to, like I said this on the Subway Takes thing, and people were like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? And then I told Kareem, I was like, this is going to be a controversial take. And he was like, I don't think it will be. And I said, no, because I've been... It's a really simple debate that I feel like I always have with people, and it kind of shocks me because I'm like, I thought this is just basic. I mean, this is like not even, this is like day one philosophy class somewhere. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
It is hard to live it, and I still deal with that every day. Like, I really have to zoom out. My wife is really good at helping me with that too, and you know, something she's really good at is she's like she could do one thing in the day. She can really kind of be like, hey, today I'm doing this one thing. We're like, we got to do like 40 things.
Yeah.
She could do one thing. And
sounds like you're calling her lazy, but go ahead.
No, she'll do it super excellent. Well, she's also a visual artist, so she'll focus on one piece of art. And then, I mean, the thing we were talking about with art, I think I started D-level understanding art.
Yeah.
And then just being with her, I've kind of probably gone up one level because I'll understand it intentionality in a different way.
Ah.
You know, so it's super intentional. It's, and it's really purposeful. And in a lot of ways, by doing one thing, she gets a lot more done than I do. Sometimes I feel like I'm
kind of
running around.
No, no, no.
But, you know, that she'll remind me of this calibration thing, because I'll still kind of like go home and be like, man, what the, this person, that, that, like whatever. And then she'll be like, dude, what do you, you know this. And
yeah.
I go, oh, yeah. You know, and then, you know, it's that being checked on our, we're all violently forgetful.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, that's a...
You probably learned almost everything you need to know a while ago.
And,
now you're
it.
Just kind of learning how to not forget it and how to keep it all together.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, there's times I will get in a fight with my wife over a thing that I'm like, oh, yeah, I've worked on this actively about myself.
Yeah.
And I just let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, dude, it's a beautiful perspective. I'm going to do a couple more questions if you got time. Just curious. Season 4 of Rami, what's going to happen?
It'll happen. I don't know when, but it will happen. I wanted to step away to, there's a couple of things. I'm writing a few movie ideas, acting a little bit more. Maybe I'll get my stand-up out there more at your encouragement.
I will help however I can. You can have any of my Muslims. I got too many, to be honest with you.
I might take a couple
I don't know how this happened. If there, the whole room is Muslim. It's crazy. Sort of. Anyway, I will help you however I can if you want to put your stand up out. Any fucking thing I can do. I've learned this from Andrew and how much he helped me, especially early on. Like anything I can do to any YouTube shit I've learned, I would gladly help you with like not even a question.
Isn't it amazing how like YouTube is still king?
It is king. YouTube, TikTok is massive. And my wife has a great understanding of it, like relative to the amount of content she's put out.
TikTok, I'm worried about how addicted I would be to it. So I think I would need one of the Muslims here to just have my password.
No, I'm big on that.
I can't.
Yeah, my password, way too many people have it. Because my dream is to have a flip phone and then y'all handle everything.
I have a dumb phone.
You have a dumb phone.
So I have the iPhone too. So basically I kind of, half my day, like I'll turn on my iPhone now at like 3 p.m. So basically it's like,
because
I realized if I took out the phone in the morning, I was just done. I was cooked. So I'll have my morning, I'll write, I'll do whatever I got to do. I'll turn on the phone at 2 or 3 when I kind of ran out of energy doing that.
Yeah.
And then I can kind of answer people and do whatever and then emails and all that stuff. But yeah, I kind of have like work hours that don't have the phone and then I'll have the phone.
That's a really smart.
That's like kind of the only, because I tried to go full flip and it's stupid actually. It's like, what are you, really?
Yeah. Well, there's a smart dumb phone that I want. Like I own it, but I haven't activated it. It's called the phone.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
You can text, you can do navigation, you can listen to music, you can surf the web a little bit.
Are they the sponsor?
No.
Okay, said it so clean.
I know. You asked what it was, and I was like, they're not paying me for this.
I asked you what it was.
I might need to bleep it, dude.
You said every feature.
I don't have a sponsor yet, so hurry the fuck up, guys, if you want.
You said every feature.
I did, I know.
In like,
and they have,
said it in sponsor cadence.
You know what? I DM'd them for a phone, and they didn't send one to me. So we'll bleep your fucking name, honestly. Fuck you. And okay, this is actually, you know what? I didn't even have this written down, but we'll just end with this. Your favorite thing, I started with the fight about your wife.
Yes.
Favorite thing about your wife and being married?
Man, she really knows how to have fun. She's like really good at it.
I agree.
And she loves we could leave the house without phones and just have I feel like I'm having an adventure or something.
Yeah, this is slightly related, but I was thinking about this with my wife. If somebody, and not that we have marriage figured out by any stretch, it's still hard, but like, what would you say to look for in a wife? I would say someone that you laugh with.
Yeah.
Like my wife and I laugh so much
at each other,
with each other. Like it's unfucking believable.
She's funny.
My wife is genuinely
My wife's funnier
hysterical.
Than you.
Yeah, my wife's funnier than me too. So
she's funnier than me too.
Yeah.
I don't know, I gotta watch your wife's TikTok. She might be funnier than me too.
No, we'll do a nice double date. That has to happen. But I truly love you, man. I'm so thankful that you did this. You are my first interview.
Oh my God.
I'm going to India after this, but like excited too.
Amazing.
There's not a lot of people in our space that I don't want to say admire because that seems too dismissive, but like I admire you in a way that I do not look at a lot of peers in terms of not only just the content you're putting out, but the person you are, how authentic you are. And I hope people understand that about you. And sometimes I, even though you don't care, I feel frustrated on your behalf that I'm like, y'all don't understand the guy in this business that is the most genuine fucking human being on earth is Rami. It's not
matter.
Even close.
It really doesn't matter.
I know, that's why you're better. This is why I aspire to be like you. You see that? It bothers me and you don't give a fuck about you.
It actually doesn't matter because it's not even, it's irrelevant.
You're the best, dude. Thank you so much.
Have fun in India.